Sports Minutes with Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan.
Bayer, null fear, Leverkusen, Deutsche Fußball Meister. Xavi Alonso and the perfect chemical reaction. Alchemy beneath the Bayer cross. They are, for the first time, champions of the Bundesliga. Oh,
congratulations to Leverkusen. Look at their reactions. And, of course, what a day. They never won the league. And now unbeaten, 5-0 against Bremen. Bayern Munich are far away from Leverkusen. So, what a moment. And please, at home, feel for Leverkusen today. Enjoy that moment with the supporters. And, of course, for German football.
Wow. We knew it was going to happen, especially after last week. But now it's finally happened. And what a happy man Xabi Alonso was with that pint of beer.
I mean, who wouldn't be, right? Leverkusen, now Leverkusen, Bundesliga champions. Well-deserved. Like you say, it was the biggest, worst-kept secret in football. It was a matter of when, not if. And kudos to Xabi Alonso. What a performance.
Hey, what a performance indeed. Can I throw some stats?
Oh, please do.
Please, I did some research. When Xabi Alonso took over at Bayer Leverkusen, October 5th, 2022, they were second bottom in the league. Second worst start of the season ever since 1979 was also Xabi's debut. He never managed a senior team before joining Leverkusen 1.5 years ago from Real Sociedad B. 18 months exactly, 557 days later, they've won their first, I can't believe it, first Bundesliga title in 120 years. Mm. Thank you, Fabrizio Romano, for that.
I was just going to say, I'm looking at it as well. But like you say, his first job, and to turn it around, not from a mid-table team to champions, you know.
Second bottom.
Exactly. And he's galvanized the whole club. And I think it's brilliant that he decided not to take up the Liverpool job, because this could be a very bittersweet moment for those Leverkusen fans if this was his final farewell, right? But it seems like this is just the beginning of this Xabi Alonso masterclass over at Leverkusen.
What do you think he's done? I mean, for you, we are not super focused Bundesliga followers, naturally, because this part of the world, the Premier League tends to take a lot of the attention. But when we look at what Xabi Alonso has done for Bayer Leverkusen, in your opinion, what is it about Xabi Alonso that gives you the impression that this guy is a leader? I'll start by saying, I think what he did as a defensive midfielder translates to a manager, like a guy who can walk the talk.
100%. I think he was coached by some of the greatest minds in football, be it Pep Guardiola, Carlo Ancelotti, Rafa Benitez, Jose Mourinho. So that tactical nous is there. But the point I want to hit is the question you asked in terms of leadership.
Okay.
I think a good leader knows how to work their players or their team to the strengths that is apparent in the team. For example, no point playing Mo Salah, who's an excellent right winger, at left back. Yeah. You know what I mean? You need good leadership to identify the talent and then extract the most out of the talent. And I think Xabi Alonso has done that. And if you look at the stats, I don't have the numbers because Romano didn't put it out for us. But in terms of late wins, the fact that this Leverkusen team are unbeaten in something like 43 games across three competitions, they don't know how to lose.
Yeah.
He's instilled that never give up mentality. And this applies to not just football, but any aspect of any job, right?
Yeah.
Chips will be down sometimes, but it's important that the leadership reminds you that the chips may be down, but will rise again. And I think that is the winning mentality he's instilled in this Leverkusen team.
I like that we're talking about leadership, right? I mean, some of these players that have helped him win the league were raw gems when he first took over. And I think also a good leader is able to recognize and have that reality check of where we're at. Mm. What are we dealing with here, and how do we move forward? He never celebrated too early when it was a string of 10 games without a loss or 20 games without a loss. He just kept going and going. And he knew, I think the real masterclass was knowing, okay, guys, because if you think about it and you sort of parallel that to the results that Leverkusen were having, they were just mastering late wins, which means got some danger warning signs, right? Mm. So he knew, okay, this is the time I come out and say, no, I'm a young manager and I'm staying here. That was a masterstroke.
And I think that's so important because by Xabi Alonso's own admission, I think they would be ahead of the curve that he sold to Leverkusen when he got the job. But fair play, they got there. But he's decided that this is just the start of the project because he doesn't have Champions League experience and he's fully aware of it. But even that signal he sends to his boys, look, we may have won the Bundesliga title for the first time in forever, but we're only just getting started. Don't get carried away by this one trophy because I want to build a dynasty. Yeah. And I think that's the signal his decision to stay at Leverkusen rather than go to Liverpool or Real Madrid proved.
That is true. Do Spanish managers make the best football managers? Well, a couple of Spanish managers are chasing the Premier League title. One of them lost ground overnight as Arsenal lost 2-0 to Aston Villa. Let's hear from the likes of Mikel Arteta and Declan Rice.
Like you say, when you're winning and winning and winning, that's one thing.
No, this is going to go, it was going to happen at some stage. With the games that we have, it was going to happen. Now how we react to that, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time you blinked since New Year's Eve, really. Is there a danger it becomes bigger in the players' heads than it actually is? You start thinking about last year and what's happened in the past.
But what you can control is how you're going to feel now, the way you talk now, the way you react, and the way you look ahead of what is happening on Wednesday. And this is in our control.
It never feels good to be behind Man City. They've got obviously a great record of finishing things off. Is that another thing to shut out?
Yeah, but we cannot control that.
Still possible.
With the amount of games that you have won in a row in any other league in the world, you are 6 or 8 points clear. It's not the case now, and this is the challenge.
Looking at the table now, just how damaging could this defeat be?
Yeah, obviously it doesn't read good, being 2 points behind Man City, but I think as you see with the other results today, there's going to be so many more twists and turns towards the end. We've just got to stay positive. You know, we've got 6 football matches that we need to give absolutely everything for, and still, you know, good things can happen. We just need to focus on ourselves, really.
Arsenal's Mikel Arteta and Declan Rice speaking to Sky Sports there. Tell you what, just shut out the media. They're the ones putting ideas in their heads.
They certainly are, and I guess the media are just doing their job. But what a pivotal day in the Premier League, right? You wouldn't expect a 3-horse race to suddenly fall in the favour of one horse swing of one night, two results. Yeah. And let's just zoom in on Arsenal. I was surprised that they succumbed to that 2-0 defeat. Think about it. Unai Emery, former Arsenal manager, coming to derail the title party or the title push for Arsenal. That's a story in itself. But as you heard from Arteta there, they were on this mazy, brilliant run and Arsenal have been the informed team in 2024. But still, they go up against this Manchester City juggernaut who do not give you an inch at all. And I think that's the biggest challenge.
I mean, Villa are in fourth place. Mm. They're fighting for the Champions League spot. And Joe Football, if you follow this meme sort of TikTok thing, I posted it on my Instagram page. They superimposed the face of Pep Guardiola on an Undertaker in a coffin. And I'm talking WWE wrestling. And then this other guy has got Klopp's face superimposed on him. And then suddenly the Undertaker gets up as he does if you used to watch wrestling as a kid and chokes on Klopp or fake Klopp in this TikTok video. And it talks, Manchester City were this last year, they're doing it again.
Exactly, and I think the hope from Arsenal fans is while Manchester City are clicking into gear, they hope Arsenal don't crumble like they did last year as well. And I'm just looking at Arsenal's upcoming fixture list. In the next 7 days, they face Bayern in that second leg of the quarterfinal of the Champions League. Then they play Wolves, and then they play Chelsea, and then they play Tottenham. So it's make or break. And I know Declan Rice there said 6 matches to play. Everything is important, but everything is a cup final almost. And I think Arteta needs to take a bit of responsibility for the way the result panned out because I felt he shuffled his pack a bit too soon or unnecessarily yesterday, but hindsight's 2020. If it had won, we were talking about a Mikel masterclass. So, all in all, for a neutral perspective, I think it's great. I do think there are more twists left, but for now, Arsenal need to pick themselves up and do it quick.
I thought the biggest twist, and I was shocked when I saw this, was Liverpool losing 1-0 to Crystal Palace. Because I was like, hey, is this like a halftime score? Or, you know, cause sometimes social media posts is a little bit delayed. Is this a halftime score? Oh, wait, they actually lost. Wow.
Exactly.
I didn't see that coming.
And I tuned in at halftime and it was already 1-0 to Crystal Palace. And then I texted our good friend Deepa and I was like, huh? Liverpool losing? He's like, yeah, man, Palace should be 2 or 3 up. It was so surprising.
Wow. Okay.
But Liverpool themselves had chances in the second half. I'll give you a crazy stat. They've had 149 shots on goal in the past 6 matches.
My gosh.
They've only scored 9.
What?
So the problem is that wastefulness in front of goal. Yeah. We saw it firsthand when they played Manchester United as well.
True.
And I think that's why there might be a bit of hangover, especially in terms of dropping points to United and then at Atlanta as well. And then now to Palace. Here's Jurgen Klopp and Andrew Robertson talking about the defeat.
So was this a hangover? Yeah, that's how humans react sometimes. It's not great, but it happens. And how I said, the conviction was not there. We were much too far apart from each other. Last line too deep, midfield not really there. First line didn't really start the press. So that's all true. Where it's coming from, I cannot answer that 100%, but it's only a few days ago that we played a bad game, so it might be, there might be some, might have something to do with that.
Yeah, it's only just been really lately since we've came back from international duty, we've probably not been as clinical in front of goal, which, like I said, when you're going for titles and you're going for trophies, it's not, you know, it's not a great thing to have. So, you know, we're obviously off the boil in front of goal, that's clear. You know, now we've had two games, one in the Europa League, one in the league, and no goals at Anfield, which is, you know, very, very rare. And we've been punished for it, which, when you get to this late part of the season, you know, you can't really do, because you get punished, and now, you know, obviously the teams about us will win games, and, yeah, but, you know, today's done now, unfortunately. A lot of regrets, obviously, in the change room, which we didn't want at the start of the day. But, yeah, like, we have to move on, and that's the only thing we can do now.
Ooh, I'm not sure it's going to be easy for them to move on. A lot of people really upset, and I'm talking, of course, about the Liverpool fans. Like you mentioned, wasteful chances.
Yeah, very, very wasteful. And I worry because Andrew Robertson has already used the R word, regret. Is that a bad state of mind going into this crunch period of the season? Because
commentator's curse.
You would think so. And I've never been a high-level striker, but I hear enough high-level strikers talk about it. When you start missing chances, you start overthinking it. And I think that's the problem surrounding the lack of finishing at the moment.
Do you feel almost as if that there is not much pressure on Manchester City? We're not really going to blame them if they don't win the title. There's a lot on Mikel Arteta as far as expectations are concerned, and a lot on Liverpool as far as the occasion is concerned, because Jurgen Klopp is leaving. Not much on Unai Emery at Aston Villa. Oh, it's okay. Spurs, they can do a Spurs. And a lot of pressure on Manchester United, because it feels like they don't make... Every week it's like Eric Ten Hag is getting closer to losing his job.
Every week with Manchester United is Groundhog Day. Just a final point on Jurgen Klopp, though. There's this massive feel-good factor in terms of that farewell tour. It almost seems like he might just end it with the League Cup, which is worrying. But for Manchester United, the problems are very, very deep. All they have is the FA Cup to salvage what is turning out to be a bad, bad season. Here's Gary Neville sharing his thoughts on what United can achieve for the rest of the season.
You know, Eric Ten Hag, I think, has got to look at this season now as being a season whereby he could finish his first two seasons at Manchester United with two trophies in the bank, one in each season, and obviously he's still got a chance of that. And that should never be sniffed at, because, you know, in years gone by, you always said win a trophy a season and you're okay. And I think that there's nothing left to say about some of the league performances that we're witnessing and some of the things that we're watching, the tweets and the likes and the body line, all that stuff. We've said it so many times before. There's no point in going over that again. But what we can say is that Erik ten Hag's future is largely now dependent upon that FA Cup, because the performance levels in the league have gone. They're like this. They're not going to change now. What we're seeing from Manchester United is what we're going to get for the rest of the season. The players have almost, in some ways, I think, almost switched off, it feels like, in the league, away from home at times. At home, they turn it on because they have to, because there's 75,000 people there who won't allow them to sort of get away with it. But away from home, it just... I mean, the Man United fans as well last night, they seem to be... You were at the game, weren't you?
I was.
Seem to be... Honestly, they never stop away from home. And just something, they're watching some real dodgy stuff. And they just keep going and going, and they never stop. They never turn on the team. They never turn on the manager. They're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And they're being dealt some right guff. But the FA Cup is everything.
Sports Minutes on Money FM 89.3.